What's up, game heads? Welcome to another episode of Glitch Therapy. I'm your host, Ramondo Burnside, and with me I have Ben Dupe.
What's up?
Noah O'Toole.
Hello, everyone.
And Jose Ochoa.
What's up?
And we're getting back together, man. It's been, almost 2 weeks since we've had an episode out, man. We're getting back into it.
2 weeks. It's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Deja vu, he says. Well, what he's referring to is the fact that we recorded an episode and it did not save. I take full blame for this.
We had technical difficulties last time.
Yeah, I don't know if you can take full blame for it, man. I think it was just an equipment.
I don't know, man. I feel like I should lay on the grenade on this one. Yeah.
Bad juju or something. I don't know what happened.
Maybe. Joel is out. He had some family stuff going on and whatnot. So hopefully he'll be back next week. But in the meantime, we have the awesome Ben Dupe. So he's going to hang out with us and talk about some games. What has everybody been playing, man?
I always say I haven't been playing much. But
you always get ready to say that.
That's your canned response. How's it going? Fine. What you been playing? Not much. Nothing. Yeah.
No, I've been playing so much. It's my go-to response for everything. How's your day? Fine.
You're so full of it.
I've been playing so much, dude. I've been playing Halo Wars 2, jumping back into Forza Horizon 3, trying to get back to Gravity Rush again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the remaster?
No, the PS Vita.
Oh, okay.
I bought it and I only played like 2 missions and I'm like, okay, side missions, and then stopped. Yeah. Trying to catch up on my shows, finish Flash season 2.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I gotta catch up to you.
Yeah, I gotta get up on that too.
Oh, it's good. Flash. Yeah. I hate Barry Allen so bad.
You and Ben have that in common then, yeah.
I want to punch him so bad. I'm like,
everybody wants to punch him. Let's just get in line, take turns.
Yeah,
it'll be fine.
Yeah, he's my least favorite DC
superhero. I think he's like on the same level as, what's that, Laurel from Arrow. He's on that same
Laurel
level.
Used to piss me off.
Oh, for Laurel Lance?
Yeah.
Yeah,
are you guys all caught up on Arrow?
No.
Nope.
Okay,
I'm on that third season.
Don't say anything about any of that stuff then.
Yeah, I heard about what happened on Flash, though.
The newest
just season? This newest episode or whatever.
I have too, but I haven't gotten to episode because season 3 is on TV now, and I think I'm at the beginning of season 2. I took a break or whatever to watch.
Oh, okay,
stuff,
it's good, man. It's good, mindless fun. I don't like watch it every week. It's not that the only show I watch every week is Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
I'm always there
tonight,
Sunday
baby.
Night. Yep. Yeah. Every Sunday at 8. So
I'm geeked for that.
I have my HBO shows too. Whatever's on. HBO, I have to watch on the weekends because they got the good, good weekend shows. Yes, Friday nights and Sunday nights.
Yeah, I only watched 2 episodes of The Walking Dead. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, it's something
just
you
2?
Gotta
just 2.
You didn't give it long enough.
Yeah, you gotta
what 3 episodes?
Yeah, like 1 season I think is like when you'll be hooked on it after 1 season.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same way with like Breaking Bad when I watched that with my wife because we started it and I was like, everybody was raving about it and I didn't get on right away. And we watched like 3 episodes and I was like, this is not that good.
Yeah.
And she looked at me like, I'm not feeling it either. And then like we watched like 2 more episodes and we were like, 1 more?
I can't stop watching.
Yep.
We had it going after that. You know, we loved it, but it took a couple to get into it.
That one's the same. I haven't even started watching that one.
Yeah. And give it time. I mean, every season, especially the first seasons, a lot of times with shows, the first season is like kind of rough because they're trying to figure out what they're doing and where they're going with some stuff. But
well, the thing about The Walking Dead for me too is like the first season is it's a zombie apocalypse show and that it's about the zombie apocalypse and like that's kind of the theme or whatever. But after that, like that sort of element wears off and you're invested in just like the character drama and it turns into this sort of what's the show about the motorcycle gangs?
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, it kind of turns into a Sons of Anarchy type thing where like there's all these gangs wandering around and skirmishing with each other, and the zombies become really secondary to all that. Yep. So,
like I say, like a Lord of the Flies thing. Like you know, there's only a few people left, and you know they're how does society survive on its own with just a couple
people?
It's
like a giant social experiment,
right?
Or something,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's how I describe it too. When I explain it to somebody, like, oh, I don't like zombies. You know, that sounds cheesy and everything. It's like
no, that's just secondary. Don't
they
think.
Are
yeah,
the setting.
Don't think Night of the Living Dead. Think you know, I don't
it's
know.
Just the setting.
Although
man.
I do love Night of the
right,
Living Dead.
Right. Of course, nothing wrong with that. But that's right.
Romero, who doesn't love?
Oh
that?
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm gonna put it on my queue then. I will watch it later.
Don't pull
it. They're coming to get you, Jose.
Yeah,
he's referring to our friend Nick Studer, who we recommend shit to, and amazing stuff, and he will say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll watch it. And then it takes him, like, months before he actually puts it on his queue, and then it sits there for more months, and then he finally watches something. And then it comes back to us, like, a year later and goes, oh, remember that show you guys recommended? It was really good. It's like, fuck, like, come on.
I was like, remember it now. Yeah.
It was like a year ago.
I forgot what I recommended to you. I probably recommended, like, 8 more things to you since then. Yeah. Which one are we talking about here?
Hey, guys, Family Matters is awesome. It was really good. I just watched it. Yeah.
Ah, tragedy. What have you been playing, Noah?
Oh, I have been playing some Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. I've been having a great time with that. Right. And yeah, if any of our listeners are wondering how I'm playing it, it's out in Japan, and so most gamers have a European account and a Hong Kong or an, you know, Asian region account, because you can get free demos and you know all that way that aren't available in our, region.
It's region locked.
Yeah, it's not.
Right?
It's not. Okay. The PlayStation is not region locked. So.
Really.
Right.
I had no idea.
So I logged on to my account that I play DOA on, because that's linked to download. So I play on like a actual different account on that one to have all the downloads, because I'm a completionist. But I just bought it from the Japanese PSN store and downloaded it, and then logged back into my Scorpio Inc. account.
Legit.
And then you just play it. Yep.
Right. Nice. And nothing's different between they're the exact same game for the most part.
Well, sometimes there are differences. Mm. Sometimes, obviously, there's the, you know, it's only in Japanese or whatever, but this game has full subtitles.
Okay.
In both. So you have the full English version this way. The only difference is that, like I've said, the circle button is enter and the X button is back on the menus versus X enter and circle being back. It's just, that's the only opposite thing. But it's a super fun, you know, giant sandbox JRPG, Japanese role-playing game. And I was surprised at how open world it is. There's lots of different quests that you can you can go on, and as well as main story missions. It's kind of like a story unfolds. I won't give anything away too much, but you know, essentially it's androids versus machines. Humanity has been wiped. That's thousands of years in the future, and humanity has been wiped out by aliens and have retreated to a base on the moon.
Okay,
and so they send androids down to Earth to retrieve supplies and try to, you know, fight the robot invader, you know, and things like that, and then kind of that world and a secret story starts to unfold.
Sounds cool.
It's really good. Yeah,
the story legit then. I mean, is it one of those kind of throwaways where the action takes more of a center stage?
Complete opposite. It's as an epic of a JRPG, I think, as you can come to. And like, you fight these giant Goliath monsters. They're machines.
Sure.
And like the first one, the one that you kind of play against the demo, and really the main one I've encountered, it's kind of like a giant oil rig type thing, and it will, you know, switch, and once you defeat it though, or at some points you can actually jump on it, and you know, it's like so big and grand, it just kind of blows your mind the way they managed to scale the battle. So it's been pretty cool. Yep,
so
highly recommend it. It should come out March 7th, which is this Tuesday, I believe, in North America. So
nice.
And there's also a demo out, I believe, on the PSN store. At least there was.
Oh, really?
Yep. So
okay. I'll have to get into that. That sounds right on my alley.
What would you compare it to? Like, if, for people that are kind of trying to get the idea of it.
The first Bayonetta. Okay. I'd really compare it to, because it's hack and slash. There's a lot of hack and slash features when you know fight the robots and things. Just lots of button mashing, square and triangle.
Okay.
Different heavy light combo attacks. And if anybody has played Bayonetta, you know, like how you'll enter a room, you know, and then all of a sudden a dragon head will burst through, and then all of a sudden you're like, you know, flying in the sky, and the complete angle has shifted, you know, and changed, and you're in this giant, you know. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminded me of that, except it was way more of a sandbox element, and that you can, you know, wander around this desolate earth and pick quests and lots of different fun things.
I dig cool.
So yeah, I've been really getting invested in it. Yeah. It's
right.
A lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And yeah, of course, been playing For Honor 2. That's still my go-to game and my beautiful game of the year. I just, every blade of grass and every brick and every castle just is so.
Is that your pick
perfect
for the game of the year?
Right now it is, yeah.
The graphics are nicer than Horizon Zero Dawn?
I kind of do.
I
think they're sharp. The weather effects.
Bite your damn tongue.
I'm going to say it. I do. they are all...
I'm surprised.
They're all honestly on the same high tier. I mean,
okay.
They're all super top shelf.
That's the awesome thing about right now, though, is like, you know, like the beginning of the year anymore is starting to, well, this has been the last couple of years, it's turned into like, the Fall, pretty
right,
much, where
right.
it's like they're hitting you over the head with like hit after hit. I mean, like you got Resident Evil 7, you got Horizon Zero Dawn, like end of the month, we got Mass Effect.
Yep.
Wildlands this week on like, you know, Tuesday, Nier Automata. I mean, you got all this stuff just boom, boom, boom. And it's not even, and then you got what? Zelda just came out 2 days ago on Friday, along with the Switch. It's like,
Switch, yep.
Man, yeah. It's a good time to be a gamer, man.
Yeah, Nintendo kind of pissed me off with that one because, yeah. like, I would have bought it, man. I was, like, going to go out on an impulse and buy one, and, like, they're sold out completely. You know, Nintendo just mm-hmm. doesn't stock enough, and well, I'm probably not going to buy it now for at least a year or two yeah. because it's just, like, I'm going to spend the money on something
else. They said they weren't going to stock anyways. Like, they were going to only stock a certain amount.
But that's how they do every console. Yeah. Every console launch, they do the same shit. Where, and I was talking with Ben over text, like I think it was last night or the other night or whatever. It's like every console launch since the Wii, they've done that shit where they put so many on the shelf, then they sell out, and then people just keep coming back to the store or checking online for months
to create
trying
demand,
to get
try and
one.
Create demand for it. Is,
yeah,
yeah,
and
they don't
so
need
stupid.
To create. They're Nintendo. Like I don't know. To me, it's like. There's yeah. plenty of demand. Just
I'm,
exactly. That's just their name yeah. brings it to the mm-hmm. table. I mean, and which made me start to get cynical about it and wonder. It's like, are they just worried about losing money by putting too many on the shelf? And then it's like, oh, we got like all this product in Best Buy just sitting there because everybody has one. And we put yeah. too many out. Like, what is that? I don't know.
That's one way to think
one
about.
One theory,
it.
At least.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's true necessarily, but it's fun to think about.
Yeah.
To
I
me,
don't
it
know.
Has such a daunting startup cost. Like, unlike yeah. the PlayStation, you can't just. Buy it and hook it up to your TV and get everything out of it. There's just yeah. so many bits and pieces you have to buy and piece together, I feel mm-hmm. like, to get the full Nintendo Switch experience, you right. know, with
like,
all the extra...
How so?
Extra...
With the bundle.
Cause right.
It's like most systems will come out with a bundle with something where it costs extra. So, like, you want all the bells and whistles. You want a controller and a game and all the little stuff. It'll be more. But, like, with this, I think people are just snagging just the system. And then they're like, oh, it comes with the Joy-Cons that come off the system. And people aren't liking that because the Joy-Cons are so little. They're, like, really, really small, excuse me. And so people are buying what's called the Pro Controller, which is more like a traditional PS4, Xbox controller kind of deal.
But
and
so,
I think it only comes like with one, and you really need two
exactly.
to get something out, like with the Switch part, to yeah. really get something out with to play with friends and things. And so your costs start to yeah add up if you want.
I'm confused. So the Switch itself, it comes with the little mini screen, the two mini controllers that slide onto it, and then the console. That's what comes with the system,
yep,
right?
There's one on each side. You yep. slide it off. You can keep it on there with the pad, the tablet or whatever, and then you can slide them off, and you have two controllers now. You can use them separately in both hands and play stuff, and then or you can play two-player, hand one to somebody else, and then turn it sideways.
But then it's super tiny. Or you can hook them together and have yeah. a little bit of a bigger controller right. for just one person can't hit.
Correct us if we're wrong,
but isn't
guys.
It isn't it like the Wii U, I would think, where... You're playing on your TV, and you can play that big one, like, and just not look at the screen
it's
and look
one
at
the
your
other.
TV.
Because
yeah,
with,
it's one
with
the other.
With the little I forget the name of
you
it.
You have to put the one the screen into the yeah. yeah. You have to put the tablet
so
into
this,
the console
so
to make it
was
work
the,
on the TV.
If this was the tablet, you would slide it into like a little stand, and it would oh, just yeah. kind of stick in there, and then. It, that's how it charges as well.
Oh, so then you have to use that tiny ass controller.
And then use the controller
yep.
or buy the
or
Pro
buy a
controller,
big controller.
So you have a normal controller with for your hands.
Man, that's bullshit. And then like, it should just play on your TV like
yeah,
a Wii
yeah,
you
should.
Would play on your
and
TV.
And then if you
want
to take
so.
It and play it in your hand, you pull the tablet out of the stand, and then it transfers from the TV to the tablet now. Now you're playing that while, like, let's say your wife's watching a show and you want to keep playing Zelda, you just pull it out of the stand and start playing on the tablet now.
Yeah. See, but the Wii U was so... It was good in that way that, like, you could play it and have it appear on both the TV and the mini
right.
screen. So, like, we could play Mario for a second, and then if I wanted to start watching something, then I could just switch the TV channel, and mm-hmm. she could just keep staring at mm-hmm. the tiny screen or whatever, or vice
right.
versa. Yeah. So I don't know. That's yeah.
yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
a fan.
I want one, and I'm gonna have one at some point, but I'm gonna hold off a little bit. And speaking of Zelda, along with that, I know Jose was saying maybe you guys can weigh in on this too. He thinks that
there's still a wager.
There is no wager. I never agreed to a wager. But I partially agree with you anyway. But he thinks that Horizon Zero Dawn is going to sell more copies than Zelda, The Breath of the Wild. And I prefaced it. I said I think Zelda will end up doing better, but I think Horizon will do better initially because the install base for a PlayStation 4 is already out there. It's like, what,
yeah.
50,
yeah.
60 million people have a PS4 already? And so all they have to do is go out and buy the game, much lower cost of entry. Where with a Switch, you got to buy the whole system and then get a game, and they're hard to find. And yeah, so initially, yeah, it's going to be hard to get people into playing that. Where right now, if they put enough on the shelves, they might give it a run for its money with how, you know, rabid most Nintendo fans are and just people in general that want a game. So I think long term, Zelda will get it, but up front, I think Horizon is going to take it for now.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. It's hard to say for sure, but I mean, I don't know. How long has it been since a Zelda game came out?
I don't know what.
5 years? Not less. No, because the last been one coming was out on for the Wii DS. U,
wasn't it?
No, they have been coming out for the DS as well.
And see, the other thing, too, speaking of the Wii U, don't forget that Zelda came out for the Wii U also. It's not just on the Switch, so.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
That's something to take into. Yeah. Because I didn't consider that the last time we were talking about this. Mm-hmm. And it is. Ago. Yeah. So that
could help it, too. I forgot about that.
So that kind of changes my opinion on it. I'm actually on the fence now which one's going to be more popular.
I mean, the Zelda fans are diehard, you know? Oh, yeah.
And lots of people already have a Wii. Like, lots of people already have a Wii.
There was one actually last year, 2016.
I told you, I knew there was one somewhere.
Twilight Princess?
Okay.
Oh,
that wasn't forgettable. Last year.
Twilight Princess.
That wasn't last year.
Isn't that the one I'm playing on GameCube right now?
The Legend of Zelda?
No.
Yeah, speaking of which, I really wanted to play a Nintendo game, so Nintendo, since you didn't properly stock the Switch, I bought a GameCube instead, and I've been playing GameCube Zelda.
He's like, forget going forward, I'm going to go
whatever.
Back.
Yeah, man, whatever. Like, yeah. It's actually been pretty fun, too. I don't know. Twilight Princess, I think, is the one I'm playing. And
yeah.
It's, fine. It's kind of frustrating, though.
Another one, Majora's Mask 3D.
Those are all old school, man. Re-releases.
But they still were released again.
I don't think that technically counts.
Why?
Shut up.
Why on GameCube is the camera all messed up? Where, like, you know, if you would normally move your joystick left, the camera would move right.
Okay.
You might be able to go into settings and change it to inverse. Yeah, but
I don't think so. I messed around with it and I was having. But on GameCube, if you move your joystick left, the camera goes left.
Because GameCube
up, it goes up. So
GameCube does whatever the hell.
That's where
it
I get thrown off on a lot of like the flying games where it involves flying. A lot of times, up is down and down is up. And
you got to switch it to normal.
Yeah, you got
to
switch it back because I'll like think I'm trying to just crash into the ground.
That's how it was
like,
for me for like Ace Combat a lot on that.
My TIE Fighter. I just smashed it.
My TIE Fighter.
Yeah.
Ah, man. I wish they would have stocked it. I mean, not that I would have grabbed it anyway, but Zelda, I mean, it's getting 10s.
See, that's my thing. Like,
9.5s and
10s Horizon has been getting 9s to 9.5s across the board, and Zelda's been getting 9.5s to 10s across the board.
They're two different beasts. I mean, they're similar.
Well,
so people,
they're kind of been pitting up against each other. I mean, it's the battle of the open worlds, you know what I mean? Which is the better.
Yeah.
Zelda Horizon.
And then Wildlands is going to come out, and that's going to be both of them.
Well, see, I don't think so. I think Wildlands is going to fade like The Division is. I think it will be popular. It will have a player base, but I think it'll be throwaway, just like the other Tom Clancy-like games.
You guys love to
disagree
with me.
So what's Wildlands?
It's Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's kind of like The Division, but blown out a bit more. That same
and it's more of it's an expansion of that.
Yeah.
That
it's the same four-player base kind of thing, but they're dropping them into Bolivia, I believe it is. And you're able to, like, there's, like, this entire country for you to, like, roam around in together and choose how you want to tackle missions and stuff. You might come across a base kind of Far Cry style where it's, like, a bunch of NPCs that are high level. It's like, ooh, I don't want to fuck with them yet. I'm only level 11 and they're at 25, so we're going to go over here and do some of this and do this. And you can take, like, you know, vehicles and stuff and upgrade your gear. And it's a truly open world. It's fun. You can choose to, like, go in and just fully just fight everybody, or you can trickle them out. Or have guys go around the other side. Hey, you go on that ridge and just give us some – tag some guys first. We're going to go around this back way and set some
explosives.
And
if you like tactical games and shooter games, you know, tactical shooter, it's right up that.
Yeah.
That alley, but
it'll scratch that itch for
sure. It makes me, kind of. I mean, I feel like the people that would get the most out of that game are people that really run in four-man squads already with, like, Call of Duty or Rainbow Six or The Division, for that matter.
Yeah, you can't put Call of Duty in that category. That's a solo game.
No, it's not.
Call of Duty is solo.
Yeah, I guess kind of COD is kind of like the token, no offense, Jose, but, like, the solo asshole player game.
What is that?
Like, Call of Duty, just because they just run around and shoot, die. Teabag, teabag, teabag. Shoot, 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 die. Teabag, teabag, teabag.
It's the Call of Duty stigma.
Yeah,
I only teabag like twice.
And I can you can always tell when you're playing against a player like a different game, like say For Honor or whatever. Like you know, you can tell if you're playing a samurai that goes //break//break// kill you. You're like, hey, you play Call of Duty, don't you?
Oh man,
and that was me.
And I need to get on. I need to get on to multiplayer.
I like Call of Duty from time to time. I mean.
You suck at it,
but I'd rather play with my friends so I can take
good.
So I'd rather play with friends so I can then like mute everybody because there are lots of douchebags, and I don't mean to like lump everybody together in Call of Duty, but there's more douchebags in Call of Duty than there are other games.
Yeah, like it has a reputation or Battlefield for a player base like
yeah,
that.
It's just one of those things where everybody plays though. So, like I was saying before, I'd rather just do more of a buffet style of things where it's like I'm gonna play some of this and try some of that and play some of this. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't really just sit and play Call of Duty every night for like months and months.
I get really bored of it like quick. I can play for an hour or two and then I'm like done for a month.
Plus, it's like if you don't play it on a regular basis like that, like every night, like some guys do, you're gonna get murdered anyway. You're not gonna have any fun. You're gonna do okay here and there.
The last one I bought and played was 3. And you know I won't ever probably do another one again just because it's not my like as you know it's obviously not my style. But the one thing I was mostly disappointed in was the multiplayer part. It took it would take you a long time to grind to unlock the characters to play on multiplayer, and I was like that's just no fun to not have any choice of characters to play in the multiplayer until you grind to unlock.
Yeah,
them at level 20 and then level 40 or whatever. It's like, man,
it's not worth it to grind for this long.
That's why that's why they started releasing the extra XP weekend, like 2 day
so you can,
XP. Yeah, so that helps out. That helps out a lot.
Right.
It makes you unlock extra like the weapons quicker. It makes you level up quicker, unlock the characters way quicker. That's how you I prestige so quick, just playing in the weekends. On Black Ops 3, on this one right now on the Infinite Warfare. Yeah. I'm not playing it as much, but I'm still playing it. It's kind of more difficult. They actually are kind of restricting the whole advancing fast rate. I have all the characters locked, but I'm having trouble prestiging for some reason. Like how I used to in Black Ops 3. It take me like three weeks to prestige. This one it's taking me months.
Yeah,
because I'm like, okay, this is taking me too long. I need to play another game or play more of this.
Well, with prestiging, I'll tell you what I am prestiging at. Horizon Zero Dawn.
That was a crappy one.
Well, I mean,
this is a good. Sec.
I think it was pretty decent.
You be the judge.
But I'm prestiging on a regular basis in that game. It's like
I am too.
I'm finding all the stuff I need. I'm finding new mechs. I'm doing, you know, side missions for people. I don't think I'm too deep in the story on that right now.
Have you gotten to the point where you can like tame
animals and stuff? I mean the mechs.
Yeah, not just the base level mech that you first learn how to tame, but like the bigger ones.
I don't think I've obtained that one just yet.
Yeah, I haven't.
I can get all like the elk looking ones and like the horse ones.
I can't get on the elk ones. I can get on the horse ones and ride them.
The
but
big longhorn elks or whatever they are. I've gotten on those too. So I am a little further than I don't know.
Yeah. Have you gotten to the point where you like have to take down like 4 bases or something like that?
I think I'm right at that point where I need to go and clear out some corrupted areas. And then also I did my first, what the hell is it called, where you go into like this, spoilers, unfortunately, sorry guys, where you go into, it's like a base, but it's all mechanical. It's like wires and like lights and stuff. Like it's kind of given a little bit of a hint into the game, like what all this means and where these mech animals are coming from and stuff.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you'll come across it pretty soon. I think I just hit level 17 or something like that, and I'm kind of starting to come around the map on the upper right of it is where I'm at now.
Okay.
And so it's starting to open up a lot more stuff, but yeah, it's getting good. I'm getting better with my tripcaster, throwing like the wire out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
People run
yeah.
across it.
I love the tripcaster.
And not wasting my arrows and stuff like that.
My problem with games like this is like, I'll never do the side quests and I'll just focus on the main story and then
go back later.
Yeah, but then the problem that I come across with that is, like, when you get to the point I'm at in the main story, you're probably going to be way higher, like, leveled up higher, and I'll be, like, still struggling with beating bosses and stuff. And so I need to focus on the side quests more. Just a little bit. Like, I don't want to help you out. No way. Like, sorry.
That's
your problem, not mine. Yeah.
You threw the rock at the boy's head.
Of course I did. He hit me in the head with a rock. So I threw it at his head.
I didn't. I dropped it. But I wanted to.
We got three different ways we did it. You dropped the rock. Yep. I threw the rock at his hand and made the other one fall out of his hand, and you hit him in the face with it.
Yep. I didn't actually get to hit him in the face, though, that my big bearded mentor man shot an arrow.
Oh, and knocked it away.
And knocked it away. And he's like, Aloy.
Rust.
We cannot do this. Yeah.
Nice. That's funny.
Well,
for anybody who hasn't started playing it yet and they're thinking about it, it's Horizon. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You haven't played it?
I don't have a PS4.
Oh, but
he put his PS4 in his engine. Remember, we talked about this.
No, but it's
a PS4 exclusive.
Oh shit!
Exclusive. It's not even out on PC.
I didn't even know that was only an exclusive. That sucks, man.
Like Uncharted.
I'm crying a bit.
Sorry. Right.
I kind of compare. I mean, I played it. You know, a little bit. Started getting on to be able to contribute to the conversation and all that.
Oh, hell yeah.
I definitely found a lot of similarities with Uncharted for those who have played, especially 4. Mm-hmm. You know, the graphics and the view of your character is kind of in that same perspective. But I found it had some of the aspects on Tomb Raider, the most recent one that I liked, where you have additional quests you can go on. Where with Uncharted, obviously that's really linear, but it's also very story driven. Both of them, and you be prepared for a lot of cutscenes.
I feel like it's like Uncharted as far as like the cinematics and stuff.
Right.
But also, it's like Tomb Raider and Far Cry with like
with
crafting your own stuff and making bigger pouches to carry more medicine,
make your weapons,
more weapons.
Yeah,
and
get stones and sticks for arrows.
And then RPG open world elements of like a Skyrim or something along those lines. So I think it meshes a lot of different game styles together to make one big, you know, nice meal of a game.
When I tell people about it, I tell them it's a combination of Uncharted and what's the post apocalyptic one in Boston?
Boston.
Fallout. Fallout.
Fire,
so it's
Fallout,
like
Skyrim,
it's like
yeah.
a com. Yeah, it's compilation of those two games,
like
pretty
action
much.
RPG
I
mean, stuff.
Yeah, there is some RPG. It's open world, but then like it's not super open world. Like yes, you have an open world, but it's very cinematic, where you're watching a movie, or Far Cry or something like that.
I like it, man.
Or Dying Light, even. You know?
So, it's a good distraction.
Speaking of that, do you guys differentiate between like open world and sandbox?
I think they kind of at times they're one and the same for the most part. I guess it just depends on your perspective, how you view like what an open world is. I mean, if you were to ask just any random person, is this an open world game? Some people might think that it is. Other people might say like it's not. You know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is open world. It's like technically they're both open world.
Like Grand Theft Auto 5 and Far Cry as sandbox.
Yeah,
I picture them as sandbox where, you can go play wherever you want. You know what I mean?
And I think sandbox and open world
and
are
open world,
interchangeable in a way, in my opinion.
Sort of, yeah. I kind of also
how
see
would
open
you
world.
Differentiate, though?
Well, I see open world like a little bit more of the Tomb Raider and Horizon Zero Dawn, where I still see it, those games, as going very linear. I mean, point A to point B, it's just along the way. There's several different branches that you can take off of the main thing, so you have the illusion. You still have an open world, but you just have more of the illusion of a sandbox versus like Far Cry and Grand Theft Auto, where of course there's a main storyline, but there's hundreds of unlockable quests just, you know, throughout the world for you to go and explore and, you know, play in the sandbox wherever you want.
I wouldn't even really put Tomb Raider in the open world sandbox category.
Yeah,
either
it's
one.
Not sandbox, but open world.
I wouldn't even put it in that either, because it's so linear. You open up the areas and it's just like
it's more open world than Uncharted 4 was.
Straightforward, open up. I wouldn't even put that in open world either.
Oh, that definitely.
Well,
neither one of those I put. I categorize it as something where you can open up a map and see a whole big old area.
But Tomb Raider, you could travel back to other
places.
Small
areas, yeah.
Oh, you can pretty much go back to anywhere on the map to get collectibles and stuff where, you know,
I mean, in that line of thought, I guess, like, even the new Resident Evil game is open world, because, like, pretty much the entire game...
I would call that one open world, but not sandbox.
I don't think... I disagree.
That way, I like the debate. Gaming terms,
I like the debate, but yeah.
Listeners, what do you think? Comment on this open world episode.
I never have. I've considered those linear games, and I consider, like, Far Cry open world.
Yeah.
I think...
So is Horizon linear or open world to you?
Horizon open world.
I would give it open world with more with a linear story is what how I would put that.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's like it's open world, but it has a very how I want to say this. It's open world, but it has a very narrative heavy storyline.
Yeah, leads you on like a linear path, kind of.
Yeah. So when you are involved in the main storyline, you're getting a lot of linear, or you're getting a lot of cinematic stuff. But mm-hmm. it's still, once those things are over, you can still, the entire game is right there for you. Yeah. You know, you're not ever being taken somewhere that you can't go back to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like when I'm playing it, a lot of it's not open yet, but. I haven't really done any of the story. Like, I've been just doing side stuff, or just, oh, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to make up, you know, kill some of these. I'm going to do this. Oh, I'm going to go hunt a long neck and do all this stuff. So that's what I consider open world, is where I can go wherever the hell I want, whenever I want, and do whatever I want for the most part, unless I'm not high enough level to do something.
Yeah.
So
when I think of a sandbox, I was like, it's pretty much you have a story to play, but when you're not there, there's still a story happening if you think about it. Like in Grand Theft Auto, you're not...
There's different parts of the same story.
Things are still happening, even if you're not there. And if you're once you get there, shit's probably going down way before you get there.
What do you mean? What do you mean by that, though?
Grand Theft Auto, like, I don't know where there's a drive-by. I don't know where there's someone getting a fight.
But that happens in Horizon, too. Like
plane crash.
You could be walking, and then you see a boar... attacking somebody or something like that. You can choose to help them or not. It's not part of the story. It's just something that's happening over here.
Open world
or
elements.
You see some striders walking around and stuff, and then let's say, I don't know, they see you and then you run away, but then they're still alerted, but then there's this guy over here and then he gets attacked because you alerted them, that kind of stuff. I mean, stuff's still part of the same trope, though.
It's not like Dead Rising, where if you don't do a mission in a set time, expires, you know what I mean? Mm. If you don't find a certain amount of time or whatever, where
thank God they got rid of that.
Yeah, because that was such a time management pain in the butt. Yeah,
that was like the first game only. No, they had that.
No, was it the second? Right,
they got rid of it in the third game.
Okay, because I didn't play the third.
Third one was good
because the second one was so daunting to me. But I actually didn't realize they took that part out.
Stressful,
so.
Man, when you're playing those.
I must be thinking of sandbox wrong, because I always thought sandbox was just a term used for a playable area. Like, you're in a sandbox, so you're in an area that you play in, and like a sandbox, I didn't really ever think about like sandbox games, because like, I mean, every game where you're walking around as a person is technically a sandbox game. It's just how big the sandboxes are and stuff, you know, or whatever.
I agree with that.
If the game itself is one giant sandbox, or if it's made up of little sandboxes that you kind of go through, like from front to back, you know, something like that. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
I like fun gaming terms. Does anybody know what AFK stands for?
No.
AFK.
Or what it means?
I don't
know. We use it a lot in the MOBAs. I hate it. It stands for away from keyboard.
Okay.
And it means, you know, you go AFK, you're like gone. Your character just stands there, or you put a rubber band around your joystick so that your character runs around in a circle and you can farm XP or things like that. But that's called going AFK, and that's from like actual like what do you call them? World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type of games where, you know, you can like set your character to fish. And they'll be doing that for hours, and you can go AFK, go away from your keyboard.
Okay.
Gain XP.
Right.
Right. Well,
JRPG. I did that one, Japanese role playing game.
I figured we put this baby to bed real quick with the whole open world sandbox thing. And I think we're both kind of right on the same path. Open world, free roam, or more loosely, sandbox. So they're pretty much interchangeable. It's the same thing for the most part. Are terms for video games where a player can move freely through a virtual world and is given considerable freedom in regard to how and when to approach particular objectives, as opposed to other video games that have a more linear structure to their gameplay. So,
thank you, Professor.
All of those things that we threw out there for the
sounds
most part,
about right. Yeah,
are more or less that.
Yeah.
So, I think that was a very good discussion.
Yeah,
I'm glad we came to a head on that.
Yeah, very sure. Yeah,
I'm not sure how that came up.
When we were debating if Horizon was truly open world or not, or if it was a sandbox, but the, you know,
they're kind of the same. Yeah, kind of the same.
I missed that part. Then I was like, "Wait, how did this come out?"
You were sitting right here.
You know how it happens. I just kind of zoned out.
You just zoned
he's
out.
He's like Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm,
I'm sorry, I was thinking of something else.
He's like, he's like on, like the dog on Up, Squirrel.
Yeah.
I saw Doug. A person on the phone walking by, and I'm like,
"Yeah, I wonder." Who's, you're like, "I wonder who he's talking to."
Yeah.
Hope you're having a good conversation.
Yeah, he was smiling, so it must be a good call.
Maybe he's ordering pizza. I should order pizza. Just go down the path.
Blazing
of,
pizza
of
sounds
nothing.
Good right now. You guys have Blazing Pizza? It's good.
Oh, man.
Mm-mm. It's really good.
Blazing Pizza?
Yeah, it's like that. It's right next to Chipotle and Valley West.
Oh, I've been wanting to try them.
Dude, they do it your own for like $8, $9.
Oh,
any,
wow.
Any
okay.
topping? Oh, dude, it's amazing.
It's not bad at all.
Dude, that's cool. I'll have to try them out.
Go for it.
Boom. Yeah. Jose, you've been playing some Halo Wars 2.
Yeah, boy.
How's that going?
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We're
what?
Somebody just shoot you with a tranquilizer dart?
I lost a stroke.
I just stuttered there so bad. For a strategy game, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And that one, just for a quick preface for people, that is an RTS, real-time strategy. You are managing resources and different objectives all over the map. A lot of multitasking, micromanaging, if you will.
What?
So
you're talking about, this is Halo?
Halo Wars 2.
Mm-hmm. Halo Wars. So is this different from like Halo games?
Very different.
So like, I thought Halo was just a first-person shooter. Like,
yeah, I don't want to say it's a spinoff, but it's set in the same world, but it's a whole separate type of gameplay.
It sounds like something I might want to try.
Yeah,
if you want, I can let you borrow it. It's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
It's set in the same timeline as all the Halos, so
Every
Halo game and every Halo movie show that's out there, it's all in the same timeline.
Okay, cool.
So it's awesome that it's keeping up with everything that's happening in the Halo universe. So this one right now, it's 28 years in the future from Halo, the first Halo Wars game, where they went into a cryo sleep from the first Halo Wars. They ended up waking up on the Ark, where Halo 3 takes place. So right when Halo 3 ends, Halo Wars 2 is beginning. So it's really, really interesting how it's happening right now. They're not fighting the Covenant. They're fighting this rogue army that's been controlled by this dude named Aatrox.
Are those like those gorilla-looking
guys?
Yeah,
the brutes.
Yeah.
Those dudes are freaking crazy. Even if you fought them, if you fought them in Halo 2, they came out in Halo 2 and then Halo 3, dude, you will waste a whole clip on them and they will not die on you.
So bullet sponges, basically.
Yeah, and they carry huge-ass hammers,
okay,
gravity hammers, and they will just, like, knock you out. These dudes are crazy. So you're managing your team. You own Red Team Spartans, which are the same Spartans from Blue Team where Master Chief is from. They are with you. You're controlling them, trying to take back the Ark from him. Trying to stop him from controlling the Ark from pretty much taking over the galaxy, because he's going to use that as a weapon to destroy or take over everything in the galaxy.
So that's part of all the story.
Yeah, that's
aspect
the story.
Of it.
The multiplayer is really cool. You have a one versus one, two versus two, three versus three,
mm-hmm.
Deathmatch. There's domination, which you could take over people's. You get a certain amount of time, take over as many bases as you can. There's deathmatch where you take last one standing wins.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like multiplayer, still online multiplayer.
Yeah, online
type
multiplayer.
Thing. Is there like a campaign at all for one player?
Yeah, the campaign's still there.
Oh, cool.
With the same tropes though that you use in multiplayer, but you're doing it by yourself for
right.
story
yeah.
reasons.
Yeah. Kind of like the other Halo games where it's like similar gameplay to the multiplayer, but it, you know, this is a different
type of
gameplay.
It's pretty complicated because there's time where you're being timed.
Oh, cool.
And
okay.
It's
to
hard.
Take it down? To take them down, you mean?
Yeah, to take the enemy down on campaign. But it's hard because sometimes your resources aren't coming fast enough, and you need resources to get your army up. Sometimes your army is too weak to attack the enemy, and you're just dying out. You're like, oh, man, and it gets really frustrating.
So you can get stuck playing a lot of defense because you're waiting for stuff to create your offense, et cetera.
Yeah.
See, and I like games like that to some degree, but it's like just watching some of the stuff on Twitch, because I haven't actually played it yet, so I can't really, you know, weigh in on whether it's good or not for me personally. But I know just from playing RTSs in the past, I find them kind of stressful personally.
Yeah, it's a lot of micromanaging and like, I don't like micromanaging. Nail biting and
I don't like that shit for the most part.
It's intense.
The first 15 minutes of playing on multiplayer, it's going to be a standstill. You're not going to know what the other enemy is going to be doing. You're just resupplying. You're trying to get everything up as fast as you can. You're trying to get your army up before the attack. You're trying to see who's going to make the first move. If they make
it's like a chessboard, baby, or less.
If they make the first move and they fail at attacking you or attacking your base, you pretty much have the upper hand. If they manage to take your team out before and attack your base, they pretty much beat you.
So it's basically a rock, paper, scissors situation where it's like, okay, who's going to be the aggressor? Who's going to be the one hanging back on defense? Are both people going to hang back and play D for a while and just build up their stuff and then attack each other? Or are they both going to just attack right away and just see who outwins the other as far as not being prepared? And that's badass.
If you're not prepared for the attack, you're pretty much done for the game. This dude, he ended up at last night. I was playing it. The game can last for like at least an hour long.
One match?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
It's like Paragon.
It's entertaining.
It's like a long
This guy.
I live for that, though.
This guy.
If it's a good match. You're getting your hour long match. Then you're an hour of this. Mm. You might as well just unplug.
Right. Well, that's where Vote to Surrender hopefully comes in. But.
Yeah.
This guy ended up attacking me first, and all I had was my infantry, the weakest I had. I had a six-man group infantry. They were just there in front of my base. I'm like, okay, these are enough to protect me for now. He ended up attacking me. He took all of them out. He ended up falling back, and I'm like, oh, why didn't you attack my base? So that was his downfall, pretty much. I ended up powering up my base. I ended up getting tanks. I ended up getting everything. I ended up attacking him. I ended up taking every base available that there is, because there's also other bases to get. So your main base, there's small bases to get just to have just in case you want them, and there's other bases to grab just in case you don't want to go to the first one, and then there's other ones to join in.
Okay,
and he ended up grabbing the closest base next to mine, but he kind of messed up. He didn't defend his back. The back, I ended up following up in the back, attacking in the backside, and that pretty much fucked him up. And I ended up just beating him, and I took all over his bases. And
right. So
it was an hour long game. I was like, dude, come on, just
so
quit.
to kind of wrap up your thought on that. So as far as the game itself, like just real quick before we move on to the next thing, are you hot or cold on this game right now? Are you recommended? What, you know, how you feeling about it?
I do recommend it. It's really paid. You need patience for it. The first 15 minutes of playing this, you need to get your resources up. You need to know what's going to happen. You need to know if they're going to attack you or you're going to attack them. It's a chess game. So if you like
chess is the OG RPG.
Yeah. If you're a big chess fan, if you're a big strategist, this game is going to, it's for you.
I like watching it, but I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know.
You suck.
Well,
it's a micromanagement game. We should give it to my old boss from Wells Fargo.
Get that, man. Some people, right? Some people would love that. They'll just get off on that. Oh, micromanaging. I love micromanaging.
Yeah.
Ooh, not me. Oh, I'd rather just jump off
a lot of Wells Fargo.
Jump off a cliff, man. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, also, every character playable has their own perks, too. So not all the leaders are the same. They all have different power levels. They all have different abilities. So everyone is different.
Nice.
Cool.
Well, as far as things being different, I got an email for you regarding some differences.
You're different.
Well, I mean, I am. I'm cut from a different cloth. A cloth of me. I don't know what that means. Well, well, move
cloth,
on from that.
Cloth of nerdiness.
There it is. Thank you for the assist and the alley-oop.
Yeah.
We had a question from a friend of ours, John, who wanted to know, when we play games that give us a chance to choose a gender of our choice, which gender do you typically choose and why?
This is an interesting, like, sort of question to ponder and, like, sort of the implications of that and stuff.
Right.
But like, I noticed when I was playing Horizon Zero Dawn that the protagonist is a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
she has a mullet.
She does not have a mullet.
She has a mullet.
Look at the case. It looks like.
Look at the case.
No, on that on the cover of the case, it looks that way, but she does.
She's
not
got her hair and dreads kind of up in a faux hockey thing, and it makes it look like
it gives it a
mulletish.
What's that in the front?
It's
short in the front and party in the back, man.
Yeah, it's a party all day. Right
all there. She needs some Keystone Light next to her. Come on,
to kind of bring it back to the top.
Yeah, I really like playing as a female and seeing sort of like. I don't know, there's different reactions you get from, like, interactions with people. Like, you see, like, her, like, sort of talking to a guy in the game and a guy hitting on her and stuff. And that's something, like, maybe wouldn't necessarily happen if you were playing as a guy, you know? Right. So it gives you a chance to experience maybe a different narrative than you would normally experience in a game like that.
Right.
And that's definitely awesome, like when you can go outside the box like that or whatever. So I don't know. I mean, I normally choose a guy just like default, like that's just I pick something that's similar to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But like after playing Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm like, hey man, this is actually kinda spices things up or makes you gives you a different outlook on narratives and stuff. So I don't know. Yeah.
How about you, Noah? What do you usually go after?
I definitely, given the choice, almost always go with a female character.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I don't know. Lots of different reasons. Sometimes it doesn't matter. I mean, like, you know, actually in cases like even Horizon, Tomb Raider, Uncharted, those single, like, player games, it doesn't matter if the main character is a guy or a girl as long as the story is good, you know, and you progress through it. Now, that being said, I like games that have the female protagonists much better. I love Lara Croft more than I like Nathan Drake, you know, and I love Bayonetta some of these other main female characters. Other games, you know, like Rainbow Six Siege or whatever, where they have different male and female operators. It just depends on what your team comp is, or even Paragon, you know, it just depends on what your team comp is. Sometimes you need to fill in with, you know, you need the character's abilities. It doesn't matter if they're a male or a female.
Yeah.
But then, you know, other times when you get to create a character, you know, then I usually make some Wonder Woman-y looking, you know, strong character.
Full disclosure, people, Noah is a hardcore Wonder Woman.
I am a hardcore Wonder Woman.
All day,
yeah.
All night, 24/7, 365.
Yep.
That's Wonder
Woman. I've got quite the collection.
He made me become like a hardcore Wonder Woman.
He's wearing the hand bracelets right now.
She's the jam.
Exactly.
She's the jam.
Just wait till the summer, man, when the movie comes out. Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. It's
going to be
awesome.
You're going to see it like
5 times. I would put 5 at a low estimate of probably how many times I'll see it.
Yeah, we're gonna be on cosplay.
What's that?
Are you gonna be on cosplay in cosplay?
I have done cosplay several times as Wonder Noah.
Yeah, Wonder Noah.
That'd be awesome.
what were you gonna say?
I had a BuzzFeed go viral.
Oh no, we're gonna do
a story for another time.
We're gonna do a podcast after the premiere. Noah and Ariel and I are gonna go to the premiere together. You guys are all welcome to come to the premiere, and then we're gonna come over here afterwards and do a Wonder. We're actually
do
like
podcast,
before Wonder.
Exciting,
Noah kind of got sick or whatever. You know, we were doing like a Wonder Woman thing every month, kind of in prep for the movie. I think we're gonna jump back.
We're ready anytime now. Awesome. Yeah,
my daughters love her, man. So,
yeah.
She's great. Truth, justice, hope. You know, good.
How about you, Jose? But when you have the option to choose, how do you usually make the choice?
I don't mind. I really don't mind. I usually go for the default as well. I usually go for a guy, make him look as like me, have the beard, make him put the Ray-Bans on with the beanie. Typical hipster.
Yeah.
Other
than that,
that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Ben, yeah. douche.
I don't know what that's like.
Living on an island. The island of hipster.
Yeah.
It's well, all good.
Tell me something, though.
It's just who I am, man.
I feel like, it, like what Noah was saying, I think he hit on it perfectly. I think it depends on the game. For the most part, I try to, if they give me the option, kind of like with a Mass Effect type deal, when a lot of people went Femme Shepard on that,
mm-hmm.
instead of going with, you know, male Shepard, mm-hmm. I went male and then try to make him look as close to me as he could, you know, mm-hmm. African-American, give him a little beard and all that kind of stuff and everything, try to get as close as I could. I mean, to the point where I spent a little too long.
I have spent hours on customization, and I love game. I have a love-hate relationship with games that do that, because I do spend the first couple, the first hour playing the game trying to tweak characters.
You're going
to
be looking at this dude for several games, possibly, if they do trilogy again, or hours of gameplay. It's like, I kind of want him to look cool or look like me at the very least or something.
And I admire companies that give options to literally make a character look like you, if that's what you want, and you want to like live vicariously in this video game. Mm-hmm. But I also like it if you want to completely go 180 degrees from what you are and have a completely fantasy version of yourself.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You can do that too. You know what I mean? And it's just, that's great.
And that's the thing. Some people do that. They want to go just completely the other direction. Like, I'm like, a skinny, short, 5'8" guy, whatever the case may be. I'm going to make myself a big, burly, guy that's muscular and, can't get an axe. Because that's
it's a fantasy world. It's
exactly. That's a escapism,
It's that like D&D type thing where you're like, You can be the person that you can't be in real life,
sort
of fantasy. Or
if anybody is into reading, there's a great book called Ready Player One, and they're turning it into a movie. I own it too. It's one of the best books I've ever read. It's just a lot like it's in the near future where, the internet virtual reality is life, and everybody is they're avatars, kind of, and so that's just an interesting. It was a very interesting take on a dystopian future where video games in virtual reality was the norm, the
I started recommended. I haven't read it yet. I got it in a loot crate.
I need to read it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I highly recommend. Best book I've definitely read in the last year or two. So,
on another note, how fucking awesome would it be to have a Lara Croft / Nathan Drake
crossover?
Crossover game.
That would be legit.
That'd be super cool.
They run into each other somewhere in the world, and competing for the same idol or something like that. Or
who's to say these two people don't exist in the same universe? Yeah.
That would be a nice crossover.
Yeah, man. Are the developers the same? Or are they,
no. Eidos.
But they are both PlayStation exclusives. Well, I guess Xbox has taken Tomb Raider, but Tomb Raider used to be a PlayStation exclusive.
Eidos is for Tomb Raider, along with Crystal Dynamics, and then for Naughty Dog is
Naughty Dog. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I thought about the same thing, but instead of the other one, I was Tomb Raider with Assassin's Creed, since they brought in the church feel to it. Mm-hmm. Like Templars,
they're like centuries apart.
Yeah,
that'd be harder to do.
No, like
the new
Age Assassins.
Oh, the new right.
Oh yeah.
Because they're in the present.
Yeah, because they're finding this like ancient relics that will bring like god figures back to life and stuff like that. And that's what the Assassin's Creed are doing. They're fighting for pieces of Eden that are god relics. So I'm like, what if
I prefer Ubisoft just stick to doing their own thing for then to get their shit correct as far as
they need to work on what they
as
have.
As far as Assassin's Creed goes, let's not pile the plate up with too much food.
Yeah.
Let them eat what they got first.
I do think
that done.
Shut up
the right way.
Uncharted and Tomb Raider owe a lot of their respective successes to each other, because I really don't think Uncharted would be what it is had Tomb Raider not been hugely successful and paved the way first.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't keep up with the times and was kind of unpopular for a while until they picked up the Uncharted
vibe
and did, the cliff climbing and the open, world thing, illusion of a world.
Very similar cinematic games.
Yeah. I don't think Uncharted would be what it is if it weren't for Tomb Raider. I don't think Tomb Raider would be what it is now for not, taking influence from
Tomb
Uncharted.
Definitely had to evolve because it was very environmental puzzle
stuff,
where it's like
the gameplay got stale after three iterations on the PS1. You got to do more than
that. I love playing as a female character, to bring it back to that topic a little bit too, is like especially as with certain games, I know that sometimes there's a little bit of sexism as far as that goes, where it's like, funny, why is the sniper always the chick hanging out in the back, being sexy and stuff? Like on Metal Gear Solid 5,
Quiet,
she, and not to bring it and make it a trope or something like that, but there were times where that kind of thing was rampant. And now, more and more, there's a lot more strong female protagonists that are like the center stage, mm-hmm. like Aloy, like you know, Lara Croft and so on, which is awesome. We could do a whole topic on that on a future episode where we can blow that out, that whole idea, where before it was like, let's save the princess, you know, kind of thing. And it's like,
you still get some of the sexism, especially if you look at like your RPGs and the armor choices. That's always my funny internet meme, is that the girls always have chainmetal bikini armor that's high level, and the dudes, you know, have head to toe covered high level armor, right? Yeah. It's like that, you know, also, that's not quite how it would probably really be.
Yeah. Let's be realistic
that's
here.
Stupid,
that's what reminded me the in Halo, they introduced the female Spartans too.
Right, finally.
So, you know,
well, finally.
Took them long enough. But.
Dead or Alive 3 introduced a female Spartan named Nicole a long time ago.
Shut up.
Why are you looking character.
Why are you looking so serious?
I was like, what?
The look on your face. He was like, this is staring Jose.
No,
down.
But, yeah, I was kind of.
I do think,
yeah.
No.
Come on, Dead or Alive? I was like, Nicole the Spartan. And you guys don't even know what I'm talking about, though, is the thing.
Look on your face, though. Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I used to kick ass with her in Dead or Alive 4. Was it 4 or 3?
The fighting one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead or Alive. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, because, she was a fighter. They, they get, what's his name, in Mortal Kombat.
I just love your face when you're looking at him. I'm like, get on my level, man. You know what I'm talking about, asshole.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did pick like the one female character out of their continuity thing, but it's still female Spartan.
I don't know. I think you were saying, it just depends and whatnot. I know for a fact that every time when I played, it was 007, Everything or Nothing on PS2 with my brothers. We'd always play like multiplayer, like be like four of us or five of us, the lowest man drop kind of thing. And I would always pick this Asian lady, and I would rename her, and I called her Angry Ho. Because I wanted her, when she killed you, you'd be like, oh, you were killed by Angry Ho. It was just funny. I don't know why, but I love picking her because she just looks so angry. And I was like, I'm just going to roll with this.
That's funny.
And you're going to like it when you get shot in the face.
I always used to pick Mayday as the character in GoldenEye. Grace Jones from the...
Yeah, exactly. You know, for that kind of stuff, I like picking
Grace Jones, right?
Character. Who doesn't love Grace Jones? Yeah. She's so fucking crazy.
I bet they don't even know who Grace Jones is.
Grace Jones is crazy.
No, I don't.
Did you ever watch any of the Conan movies?
No.
Back in the day?
No.
Tall, tall.
She's a very androgynous black chick with a mohawk.
She's like kind of muscular.
Did you watch Pee Wee's Christmas special?
Oh, dude. Don't
she's a little drummer boy.
She
killed it.
She's ridiculous. Oh, and she's also in one of the James Bond movies.
Yeah, Mayday.
She was Mayday in.
The one with Stacey Sutton.
Was it
Live or Let Die?
And it also had.
The 80s one.
It also had. I Need More Cowbell.
Christopher Walken was the bad guy in it. Yeah, Christopher Walken was the main bad guy. Yep.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
He was. Oh, man.
And Mayday was his bodyguard. She was his female.
He was Zorin.
She was a tough Zorin. Right,
They're on the blimp. Yep. I gotta watch that now. Yeah.
I loved Conan though, because she was Zula. Was that her name, Zula, in that or something? But
I don't know. She tried to have sex with Conan, and he wasn't having it.
She had this tail like this. She didn't talk much. She just ran around screaming.
Yeah, or she looked crazy and like angry.
Anyway,
sweaty.
This girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely. Jones, I love Grace. Yeah,
Grace Jones.
Pull up to the bumper.
Okay.
I love her.
That's a
called Boomerang. Great song. With Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Boomerang. You bet. With Eartha Kitt had that one too. Anyway, I digress.
It's all good.
I don't know what happened here, guys.
It's okay. But, yeah.
We're a little bit older.
Man, we should definitely do that for a future episode and just blow that whole idea
for
out.
Sure.
You know, how they've evolved from, you know, just being fodder to be saved kind of thing into being like full-blown like, I'm going to save you. What's up now?
I kind of thought that about the Zelda game, because when I was doing some research, it looks like the story is essentially the same. Zelda has to save, or Link has to save Zelda from Ganon. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I think the only one where she really steps up, and I could be wrong, correct me, Nintendo fans, but there's one, I can't remember the name of it though, where she ends up being Sheik. And, you know, spoiler, I'm sorry, but the Sheik is a character that kept showing up, kind of like she had a cloak kind of on, like an Assassin's Creed kind of looking person, and it would help Link throughout the story. And then at the end, it turns out it was her, doing stuff on the side and kind of like teaming up with them. And
he didn't
know it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's just one of those things too, where it's like the game is called Legend of Zelda, and you play as Link, and people that don't know much about games will be like,
we'll think that's Zelda.
That's Zelda, and people get mad. Like,
no,
instantly.
Ariel and I had that conversation, actually, because
he's not Zelda.
Like, when I was a kid, man, I always thought Link was a girl, and I thought that was Zelda. Mm-hmm. Like, and I got corrected when I was like 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like,
people get mad about that, like, Captain. Yeah. Real quick,
anybody watch Captain N and the N Team on Saturday morning cartoons? Captain That's probably our at the Game Master. Yep.
Yes.
In the later season, they met up with Link and Zelda, and they Simon Belmont, Castlevania, which is getting its new series on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You guys see that? Yep. It's going to be like a Game of Thrones R-rated Castlevania series on Netflix, so that's pretty exciting. That's like super old-school classic game.
That's cool. Yeah, I'll be excited for that.
Yeah,
I love Netflix series, too. They do really good with their content.
Well, if you get excited about that, hopefully people are getting excited about our Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of content.
Yes, very much so. If you would like to support the show, reach out to us at patreon.com/glitchtherapy for as little as a dollar a month. You, too, can partake in some extra content called Final Round. We talk about some extra things bopping around our nerdy heads, you know, regarding video games and whatnot and just our thoughts about it. So, feel free to check out that. Otherwise, if you just want to reach out to the show with any kind of questions you want us to talk about on air or just topics that you want to throw out there, or just, you know, reach out and just say, hey, give us a shout at glitchtherapy@gmail.com. And we check up on that pretty regularly and read those questions on the show. You can reach out to us on our social medias as well. So we'll just pop around the room real quick and, you know, let them know what you got. Jose, you want to start us off?
Yeah.
What? You look like you weren't.
Where can we find
you? I thought you were going to start.
I can. I mean, if you want to reach out to me on social media as far as Instagram or Twitter, I'm at Nerdy Romando. And then if you want a game with me or just friend me on Xbox or PlayStation Network, it's going to be Dirty Dimes.
Dirty Dimes.
Mm-hmm.
Dimes. If you want to catch me playing Xbox One, I'll be It's Your Senpai. I'll be on Twitter and on Instagram at I'm at your fuck. Hipster Main.
You are having troubles today.
I am. I'm having so much trouble.
You want us to come back to you?
Oh, man. No, I'm done. I'm Hipster Main on Instagram and Twitter.
There you go. Are you sure? Is that a question mark?
Got it? Yeah, it sounds like a question.
Question mark on the end of that?
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter.
I think
what is a Twitter?
What's a Twitter? I don't know.
What is an Instagram?
That's something I've heard the kids talking about.
Jose's like Instagram. I want
Tinder.
Tinder.
Oh.
For someone, but not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Just not.
Nothing wrong.
Just not mine.
Yeah.
Continue on, Noah. How about you? Now that Jose has done it to us yet again with this weird stuff he's pulling out.
Right. If you want a game with me on the PSN network, Scorpio_Inc. Scorpio SK, not SC. And if you want to find me on social media, just do a search on either Twitter or Facebook for Noah O'Toole.
Boom.
And I got a bunch, man. I'm on Twitter as Indie Comic Ben. I am also on Facebook at Nerd Church Radio, Twitter at Nerd Church Radio for the other podcast I run. We also have another podcast called Indie Comic Ninja. Follow us on Twitter, social media. And I'm on the PlayStation Network as Benzilla with two N's and three L's.
Benzilla. I like it.
Yeah,
that sound effects.
It was like those the sound of Godzilla. A Benzilla.
It was a Benzilla. It sounded kind of hungry.
That was pretty bad. That was a better one.
And its natural habitat.
It was mildly agitated and just hungry. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just bebops?
Bebop sounds delicious. Well, that's going to be it for us, guys. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We definitely appreciate the feedback, and it helps us as well to climb the ranks so that more listeners like yourself can find us and enjoy the show. So, we appreciate all the support, and that's going to be it for us for this week. Tune in for Final Round, which is our after show. So if you are a patron, that's going to be on the back burner for you here in a moment. Otherwise, enjoy your week, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Game on.
Game on.
Game on.